Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Supported by TheGeldedEnd.com. To browse and buy vintage lead shirts, player-signed prints, and classic memorabilia, go to TheGeldedEnd.com. The Square Ball. By the fans, for the fans, since 1989. To buy the magazine, read the blog, and to download the podcast, visit thesquareball.net.
Last time on the Square Ball podcast, we were moved to give our Ken Bates Villain of the Fortnight Award to our goalkeeper, Paul Rohrbacher. We didn't think he'd been playing very well, you see, so I think you know what's coming. Hello and welcome to the Square Ball podcast number 39. Thanks for joining us. With me, Michael.
Hello.
Moscow White.
Hello.
And Oddie.
Hello.
Quick chance for us to sell our magazine to you. Please do buy it via the website at thesquareball.net. The last few remaining copies of issue 4 of this season's magazine are on sale now, I believe. And issue 5 will be coming out for Millwall.
You need to get issue 4 before they all get sold in the Caribbean.
Is there a big demand now since your story broke?
It's now worldwide. There's at least one.
We've sold at least one, although that was a download, so I don't think they run out. Well, our server's almost empty of that particular PDF.
You're the technical guy. We've been on a newspaper's website and on the telly in the British Virgin Islands, thanks to the article about Noel Lloyd, which is one of the most surreal things that's happened to us since we started doing this.
And we've got to be honest and hold our hands up and say they've slightly overblown our significance in the UK magazine market, I think.
We are a UK sports magazine. I think that's
popular. Fairly UK sports magazine.
Yeah, we're quite niche.
Mm. Popular within our niche, though. I'm straight ahead. It's on YouTube, and if you look at our Facebook page, it's on there as well. And we'll probably put it on the blog at some point because we're quite pleased with it.
It's not often you make the headlines in the Caribbean.
No, and if you watch it, the lady who made the film, who was interviewed about how good it is, she's got a certificate from the governor now, which I'm not entirely sure what that's all to do with, but apparently she's going to have this thing on her wall forever.
Can we have one? We should have one.
That's the point. I didn't think of that.
Get her to send us one.
When are we going over?
This is it. The next question is also, is there anybody there working a bank that you know of?
Company's house.
We'll work up to
that. You
could
just look at Teak Trading for us.
Yeah.
Anyway, last few copies of issue 4 of the magazine will be on sale for Barnsley. And the new one, issue 5, will be out for Millwall. You can get that online via thesquareball.net or in person at the matches. Finally, do get in touch with us. We like to hear from you. We've got some correspondence this time, which we'll come to towards the end of the podcast. Podcast at thesquareball.net via email. You can also reach us on Facebook and Twitter. And just before we hurtle headlong into part one, which will be an absolute treat with the matches we've got to review, just going to mention our Christmas party is coming up. Somebody tell me about it.
It's only November. What are we doing?
Holidays are coming. Holidays are coming. Sorry, the Coke advert's been on the telly and everyone's going mental about it. Anyway, tell me about the Christmas party.
Well, we need to organise it mainly.
We better do.
We know for a fact that it is going to be on the 17th of December.
Well, is there anything happening on that day that ties in?
There's a game at Elland Road. Leeds are playing Reading.
Football match, you say?
Yeah. Straight after the game, you can hot foot it into town. Down to Temple Works, which is in Holbeck, hop, skip and a jump from the city centre, and you can meet us all.
Is that the best thing about it?
Yeah. Is there going to be booze, music?
I would imagine
yes and
so,
yes.
It's Christmas, for crying out loud.
Yeah, keep an eye on the website then for details of the Christmas party. It's going to be at Temple Works. We've got a little football as it should be is the theme that we're kind of exploring, isn't it?
That doesn't mean you can fight.
But yeah, roughly speaking, it's going to be affordable beer, some Leeds things on the wall.
Stand where you want.
Stand where you want, yeah.
Drink.
Because we're not going to have any seats.
There will be seats, as long as you bring your own.
Keep an eye out for that. More details to come over the course of the next week or two. and we'll get the tickets on sale via the website. All the proceeds, of course, going to our charity for this year, which is the Leeds Children's Hospital Appeal. Very worthy cause, I think. Okay, white watching. Well, this should be a treat. We beat Leicester, didn't we? That's good.
Leicester game was magnificent. I thought goalkeeper.
Hang on. Leeds United 0, Paul Rahubka 5. Let's do that first, if we have to.
Can't we just talk
about
the Leicester
game?
Well,
to be fair, that should be 3, not 5.
No, I'm blaming him for all five goals.
If it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have scored one.
Well, is there anything? Paul Rahubka.
It's overused in football that people say I could have done better. But for this one game, I think we can probably all agree that we would have saved at least one of those three.
He saved them, he just chose to drop them, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, the first one was more or less forgivable.
He hit it quite hard.
It was, yeah, he should have done better, but had he not followed it up with the other two, then you might have forgiven him. But yeah, the other two were unforgivable. The second one in particular was about the most basic cross you could possibly hope to gather.
The second one was like somebody had thrown a bucket of eels at him and he was desperate to clutch at one of them. It was awful to watch. I'm surprised Tom Leeds didn't slap him on the way off.
It was something to behold, wasn't it, as a performance from one man.
It got to the point where there's nothing else you could watch, even when Leeds were trying to sort of attack. You were still looking at him, thinking, what is happening here?
It is a rare thing, isn't it? It's a very rare occasion when the focus becomes all about one person. Often you can have hate figures in football that where you direct your anger towards them, but in this case...
It's normally visiting players, yeah, your own players.
Can he mess it up any more than he has done?
And that's what everyone was saying after the penalty red card incident. And then just a few minutes later, it was just kind of... When the third one, it was just like, he's done it again. Jesus Christ.
Almost, like, silence fell, like disbelief. And the idea as well that there was still potentially another 60 minutes of him standing in that goal doing that.
Do you think it was a little bit unfair, if that's the right word, of Simon Grayson to send Alex Cairns to warm up, because it was obviously going to focus even more attention onto Rahubka, and you know the ironic cheer that goes up from the crowd when they see the sub-goalie warming up. It doesn't do anybody any favours, does it?
Well, the only thing he could have then done is not send him to warm up, so then he came straight on for the second half cold and pulled a muscle, and then we'd have to stick Johnny Howson in goal, and that's never going to work. Oh, I'd like to see it. Johnny Howson, goalkeeper.
Would it not have been fair, though, to say, right, you just go out warm up at half-time, and then we'll stick you on for the start of the second half? Rather than completely hanging him out to dry. And he hung him out to dry in the press afterwards, didn't he, as well? I mean,
there's nothing you can say, though, is there, after that performance? I think, are we all agreed that it's the worst goalkeeping performance you've ever seen?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never seen a keeper do nothing right. No. Even when keepers have made mistakes, they've then managed to catch a cross or dealt with a shot straight at them. Literally every single thing he had to do in that game went wrong.
I mean, even John Lukic punched into his own net in the European Cup, but
made several good saves as well, yeah, in the same game.
The point was made as well that he has no credit with Leeds. Like, other keepers have made mistakes, but they've had maybe 50 games where they've not made mistakes, but he's just gone from making smaller mistakes to then making a load of them all in half an hour.
He's in debt.
The thing with credits, have a look at howsonisnow.com and find the video that he put together of Rahubka's since he came into the team, because there is a strong argument. It's only when you put them all together, so every goal since he's come into the net can, apart from maybe the Cardiff one, be blamed on Rahubka. They've all been his fault.
Although I was still blaming the Cardiff one on him, because I think he looked back and saw who was in net and thought, I'm not leaving it to him.
Or them, with O'Day's double vision. That was the reference. I'm not worried about poor Rahubka's feelings, because I felt bloody terrible, so I don't see any reason why we should keep our substitute keeper out of his sight so as not to upset him. I was upset. He should be upset.
Is there a certain...
I paid 25 quid to be there. He got paid. He got paid to do that. Fuck his feelings.
Is there maybe a question of his very comfortable bubble as a reserve keeper being popped a little bit, because he's, you know, he's probably been gone to training and taken his fairly meagre pay packet home, and then...
I don't imagine it is fairly meagre.
Probably not, I mean, comparatively speaking, but...
For a man who does no work, who basically has a bit of a kick about...
And if what you're inching towards is he signed for Leeds United expecting never to have to play and just put his feet up and take a wage, I'm hating him even more.
I was prepared
to come in... I didn't boo him at the game, and I shook my head when the chance of off started. Now I want to rewind time and just get down on the pitch and have a go at him.
Well, he did sign as a first team keeper, because we didn't have another keeper.
He didn't. It was made clear, wasn't it, afterwards?
Didn't have another keeper at that point.
Thank God it was made clear afterwards, in retrospect. But what I was going to ask was, there's no reserve team. He doesn't have to do anything apart from turn up and train and take his money and sit on the bench every week. So is there a certain amount of predictability about his collapse when he's actually thrown onto the grass?
No, not of that level. He's 30 years old. He's probably spent 15, 20 years most days trying to catch a football.
And if you're a professional footballer, you have to be any good. That's the level you have to be at.
Yeah. Catching a ball.
That second one, it was the most simple catch you would expect
My daughter's three and she can catch.
Yeah.
Give her a game.
He spent decades training to be like that.
What, like a three-year-old? Yeah. Right, okay, on to happier times then. I had a feeling we were going to get something out of this because I spoke to Gareth Jones at BBC Radio Leeds on their West Yorkshire Sport Daily Show, and he asked me what I thought for this game, and I thought we would get something out of the Leicester match. And we did. 3 points. Good reaction, just when everyone was writing us off.
When we've got a keeper in net and 11 men on the pitch, we actually seem to do all right this season. That seems to be the key.
And it is the Leeds United way that we'll get thumped by somebody and then beat someone we probably wouldn't be expected to beat.
That was the thing about the Blackpool game, is that you can't blame him for the goals or whatever, but if we'd had Lonergan there, the whole team played pretty badly, but if we'd had Lonergan there, we would have got to half-time 0-0 and we might have nicked a winner in the second half. That was the goal, I think.
Or even 1-0 down, we're still resilient enough to be able to fight back into games, aren't we, as we proved against West Ham and similar.
That's why anybody trying to blame Blackpool as a team, a bad team performance, no, bad Rahubka performance. But Leicester.
Anyway, listen, Adam Clayton, wow.
He can hit the football.
Wow. What a great goal that was.
Pick that one out, Casper. Blame someone for that if you can.
Well, that actually, when I saw the replay, I immediately flicked over to Casper and I thought, go on, who are you going to shout at? Who are you going to shout at now? Whose fault is that?
There was that little turn of him and you could see his arm going, like, why didn't somebody? Oh, yeah, it's my job.
These nets are too big, groundsman.
Do you know who my dad is?
He's seen good sense and deleted his Twitter account as Casper, hasn't he?
Yeah, he was moving towards that in stages because you remember that weird thing over the summer where he announced... I still think it was him. He announced he was leaving and then pretended he got hacked. And then he's like, right, I'm only going to communicate on here by video. And he was doing little videos of himself going, I can't have tweeted that because I'm in Denmark. Whatever. And then he moves and says, right, you'll only hear from me now if it's going to be on my official Facebook site. I don't even know if that exists, but yeah, he's gradually. And it's got to the point where the only people who care whether he's on Twitter or not are Leeds fans who want to
abuse him.
Make fun of him, yeah.
What was his general reception like in the ground?
I believe he got a bit of stick, as you would expect. Mm. And as I would encourage. Yeah. For such a...
Well, he's the sort of keeper who
for
would...
For such an angry man.
Yeah, he'd respond to it, wouldn't he? He'd get wound up by it.
Unlike Jermaine Beckford, who got a good response.
And responded well as well.
Yeah. By not scoring.
By not scoring. And
there's quite a lot
of love.
Been
doing that for a while, though, I think.
There's quite a lot of love there, wasn't there?
He came over and celebrated at the end of the game, which I think has rubbed up a few Leicester fans the wrong way. There was some comments on like their message board saying he was spending all his time playing with his old mates from Leeds and just that. And he was play wrestling with Lee Bromby at half time.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah, exactly. He just smacked him. Please, can I come and play with you?
But on 40 grand.
Yeah, you have to say, if I mean, as much as I like Jermaine Beckford and I'm thankful for his goals when he got, you know, helped fire us out of League One, I wouldn't be happy paying 4 million quid for him, nor 40 grand a week, for that matter.
That was a brilliant thing. Someone posted on the forum, it was either on Square Ball or Wacko, a link to the Leicester forum, and there seemed to be people on there saying, look, I know he's not brilliant, but we've got to live within our means.
He's like, the best we could afford.
You've paid 4 million for him. We've not spent that on our... team in about
you've got no idea.
That's
his wage is the same as our entire first 11.
And I can't begrudge him this current wage because the Everton thing was him going to the Premier League and fair enough, that direct jump. That's all right. This move has clearly got nothing to him. This is Leicester buying a striker they can get and Everton going, money, we'll take any money. I mean, I could buy an Everton player tomorrow for 20 quid, but 4 million from Leicester and then... So it probably wasn't Beckford's decision to move, but they sweetened the deal with 40 grand a week. It's probably going to... All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, bruv. Beats working for the RAC. No disrespect to you if you're an RAC man.
Yeah, this is...
Or lady.
This move is... this move just seems like something that has happened to him, and fair play.
I mean, you
him.
Would, wouldn't you? Is, you know, considering his meteoric rise, and he's come from Weldstone...
Yeah.
To, you know, Leeds, and he's had this, they say, jump to the Premier League, and then, hang on a second, someone's going to set me up for life now. Are you stupid? Never mind, I'll have it.
I won't bother scoring any goals, but
And the important thing, of course, now we are above Leicester, which means that it is right that we spend no money on players and it is wrong that they do spend money on players. That's it. Black and white issue.
It's as simple as that.
Established fact. Scientifically measured.
By scientists.
Or a bearded man in Monaco.
But you know, there is a certain amount of me sympathises with it and think, you know what, if we get promoted with this ridiculous approach, then the end will justify the means to a degree, but...
Although not if it's in 15 years' time.
No, I meant this season specifically.
This season, okay. Yeah.
The key to it, and it always has been, is signing the right players, and the cost is irrelevant. That's all it is. So sort of when, well, you know, Leicester have spent this and Bristol have spent that, Lee, we've only spent it. It's who you've bought. Leicester have spunk loads of money on fairly average players. You could get a player better than Matt Mills for a considerably less than 5 million. That's what's stupid about it. The question is, could we get better players than we've got? Like, could we get better players than Michael Brown? We spent a little bit more. That's the thing.
And Bristol haven't spent a lot of money, have they?
They bought Kilkenny.
Quick word, though, for the defence in this Leicester game. Clean sheet, very important. Marshalled by the on-loan keeper. O'Brien returning to the side after his, shall we say, early season problems. Encouraging signs.
They didn't have a shot, as far as I can tell, throughout the entire game. I think Beckford came on and kind of shanked one across the box. Ridiculously tight after a 5-0 defeat the same week.
Yeah, and it's good that O'Brien, if he is going to get back to being a central defender again, it can't hurt to have a good experienced centre-back for the games when Tom Lees isn't... I mean, it's his first proper season at this level. Could go wrong at some point, and you want O'Brien to be able to step up, not to just come onto the pitch a trembling, weeping wreck. We've got Rahubka for that.
I will feel sorry for Tom Lees if he gets dropped now, because it'll basically be Rahubka's fault as well. But it's ruined his season if he gets put out of the team through no fault of his own.
Damn you, Paul Rahubka. More on that coming up. With that out of the way, then let's turn our attention to the news. First of all, Johnny Howson's contract. We usually deal with transfer matters and similar at the start of this section. So we have some sort of updates on that, don't we?
In three words, F off, Bolton. That's the news, isn't it?
Well, we hope so, don't we?
Well, not that we talk about transfer negotiations as a club, as a rule.
Do our business through closed doors.
That's right.
Quote,
yeah.
Ken Bates.
Those closed doors being Peter Lorimer spurting out in the YEP.
Was it in the YEP? And did it not start at the Leeds on the Road event? I can't remember which one it was, where somebody was asked.
He's singing like a canary. We can't even trace it back to where it began.
And what's the upshot of what he said?
Johnny will stay because he gets terribly homesick.
he couldn't manage Bolton, could he? No, that'd be dreadful. So what he said essentially is, money's all right, wants Premier League football. But Howson has kind of hinted towards staying, hasn't he, since? But we all know talk is cheap, isn't it?
He has said that everybody wants to play at the top level of football.
Not Rahubka. He wants to play. He wants to be someone's third choice. Reserve team football is all he wants.
These contract negotiations, it's just going to be like, if you heard the Fine Young Cannibals song, Johnny was sorry. We're basically living through that at the moment. High-pitched squeaking from Lorimer, from Johnny, while the club in the middle is saying, we don't talk about this. And it's again getting into that ballpark of just little tidbits here and there, when what you want to hear is, Howson's signed a new contract. It's going to last for a million years. That's what we want. Even if we don't think he's very good.
Yeah. But Lauren will come out, it's almost preempting the fact that he might not be here next season.
It's getting your excuses in early, isn't it?
I reckon they're trying to make us love him a bit more. Because he gets quite a bit of stick from us anyway. Maybe they're trying to say, oh, he might be going. Then we'll think, oh, come back.
Because there was Grayson's comments in the Evening Post as well, saying, oh, people don't see what he does. He does a lot of things that people don't see. Name them then. Well, you have. If you've not seen them, you can't.
Your wife said the same about you, Simon.
Oh, gosh. It's like that schoolyard game of like, well, you know what you are. It's like, well, I'm not telling you. If you don't know, I'm not telling you. Well, should I have to tell you? You should know. I'm not telling you.
What do you think of Howson? Honestly, opinions on the table. Could do better? Will improve over time? Because I think we'd miss him if we lost him.
We probably would. I mean, he's 23, so he should be more consistent, but he's still a decent player.
We kind of said with Johnson and Kilkenny that we might just don't appreciate what they do, and when they leave, we'll miss them. But when they left, we've got Adam Clayton, who's a million times better than both of them put together. And it is, and I think the Clayton love in this season none more so than Steve Firth's article in the Square in Squareball issue 4, which perhaps takes it to perhaps a different level than just admiration of his football skills. But it's clear that he's a proper midfielder and he does all the things a proper midfielder should do and is brilliant. And you kind of wonder, hey, it would be a risk if we let Housen go. Would we miss him? Or would we suddenly have a space for somebody even better? I don't know. But I have nothing against our White Rose bleeding captain.
The thing is, to replace him with something better will cost money.
Alex McCarthy coming in, saving Robka's bacon so he can dance back up into the shadows and hide forevermore. Good debut, clean sheet, can't ask for any more, really.
He's already played well at Elland Road for Reading, so he's got that advantage over
Robka. He's already 100% better than Paul Rubbish Robka.
If you're listening, Paul, hey, we're only joking.
And I'm sure you know deep in your heart. Yeah, good goalkeeper, good young goalkeeper, one of 40 that apparently we tried to sign if Kenneth is to be believed.
That'd be a big squad.
It would be. Imagine if they'd all said
imbalance.
Yes. We send 40 faxes and they've all come back, yes. Now there's 40 blokes, 40 very tall men.
Reading were a bit smug as well. They went, oh, we've got three really good goalkeepers. You can have one if you want. We've still got our reserve keepers still better than anything you've got.
Whereas Ferguson, on the other hand, took completely different tack, where he's like, oh, he seems quite willing to loan his Thomas Cusack out to any team.
In South Yorkshire. That,
yeah. Who is it, by the way? It's Leeds United, sir. No! Nay! And poor old Thomas Cusack. The main reason I included this is... Because he said apparently that he was fed up. Man United have treated him like a slave. And then he's backtracks and said, I didn't say, I never used the word slave. I didn't imply slave. Slave was not what I meant to say. He's saying it's a translation issue because the paper he was speaking to in Poland is called Super Express, which I quite like. I'd quite like, can we call square balls a bit boring, but Super Express with double sales?
I've got a picture in my mind now of Cusack turning out for the next game with slave written on his cheek like Prince.
Yeah, wearing a chainmail bucket on his head.
We don't want him anyway.
Nah, scum. No.
Nah, bloody scumbag.
Bastard, yeah.
Quick roundup of the international happenings, given that we are in International Week at the moment. Keogh and O'Day in the Ireland squad for their 4-0 victory in Estonia.
And how did they? What part did they play in this astonishing win that has secured European Championship football for Ireland?
Nothing.
Brilliant. Well done, lads. Irish eyes are smiling.
And AD White made it into the under-21s against Liechtenstein.
Happening tonight. I think it's starting about now as we're recording. So we don't know what he's done.
He'll get some sort of debilitating injury that will ruin him forever.
He must fancy his chances of getting into their full squad, because I think they play Kevin Kilbane at left-back quite often, who is a dreadful footballer.
I think he's getting towards being Ireland's most capped player ever, something like that.
Paul McGrath will be spinning in his grave.
It'd be like us having Kieran Dyer as England's most capped player or something.
Snoddy made it into the Scotland squad, which is one stage better than Ross McCormack. However, they beat Cyprus, not on the bench.
No, it's not grass. May as well not have gone. Oh, was it away? Yeah, Cyprus. It's not a bad place to go. If you got a bit of money, you could buy it.
Snodgrass didn't play. McCormack not called up, as we mentioned before. But somehow Jordan Rhodes of Huddersfield managed to get on the pitch and got a full 3 minutes.
Dude, I'm not even convinced he's really Scottish.
I don't think he is Scottish. No. I think he's almost certainly isn't.
Whereas Ross McCormack, he's a kilt wearing,
with a name
CU
like
drink
Jimmy
driving,
wearing, drink driving Scott,
with a name like Ross McCormack as well. I bet he's got a tattoo of an Iron Brew can on his arm,
and he's been looked over. I was to say, well, Jordan Rhodes is doing brilliantly in League One. McCormack's doing brilliantly in the Championship. Anyway,
Housen overlooked for England. Who put that in the notes?
Me. That was a little joke I thought we might all enjoy. Vereinen and Fussell.
Oh, you've ruined my let's finish this bit.
All right, then. We'll pretend I didn't say anything. You can do that. Edit it.
Let's finish this section with the international roundup with our Finnish pair. Did they play? Have they played yet?
Games tomorrow.
No, then.
As we speak. What is this leading into another joke?
No, it's What's just a basic lack of research and knowledge.
Well, I wrote it there. Look, it says Veronen and Fosso in Finland squad for friendly versus Denmark to be played Tuesday. Well, Today is Monday.
Oh, yes. That's exciting, isn't it? Finland versus Denmark. Wow.
It's a local derby.
Okay, so that's
perhaps
the...
Perhaps won't play. No, Forsell always plays for Finland, whether he's got a club or not, so...
All right, then, let's do our Ben Fry bit and sell corporate things at Elland Road.
Well, it is notable that Barbados bill, I'm pretty sure this is late. They've never actually put a date on it, but the nearest they said was end of October, and now we're middle of November, and hospitality level 3. Well, it's finally open.
They need to hurry up because the world's due to end in 2012. So.
Well, didn't they sell season tickets to this damn thing and now it's halfway through November and it's not even open? If you feel shortchanged, contact Watchdog. Was in Roger Cook.
And currently now, I get the feeling they're sort of pretending it's open when to look at it from the outside, people are like, this isn't ready. And they go, no, it's fine. It's fine. Just come inside.
Come on the side. Step aside. Step over the girders.
You can look at it from inside as well, because those urban explorers from the internet broke in and ponced around in the kitchens taking photographs.
These are rebellious people who go around into places they shouldn't, like drains and culverts and
Teenage Mutant
tunnels.
Hero Turtles. Ninja or hero?
It was Ninja in America, but that was a bit strong for 80s England. It was Hero over here. I remember actually when that started, Lee Bromby in the broom cupboard announcing that it was going to be on the next day. It's very exciting. Everybody was talking about it at school.
That's a Philip Schofield reference for anyone who's not quite sure who he's on about. That's the guy who presents This Morning now.
But now, yes, the new White's Lounge will be open against Barnsley. And prior to the game, the White's Lounge will be visited by one of our Leeds legends who will visit your table and share their thoughts about the game ahead. Which I wondered how many is the Leeds legends. They've resurrected the ghosts of the of Major Frank Buckley's side, coming on clanking chains.
Well, we are getting into old Christmas panto season, aren't we? Maybe it's a bit of a Scrooge revisitation.
And Howard's Restaurant also has got a website now, so I'm sure the food will taste better
That.
Yeah, it's actually if you have a look at that, it's howards-restaurant.com. I do feel like Ben Fry. And what's the phone number I can?
If you prefer to do it the old-fashioned way, you can...
write a letter. and the photo is just like anonymous guys in suits. There's not a woman to be seen on that website, which I think says a lot about the target audience.
I've had a look on TripAdvisor, and Howard's... It gets marked quite well. Everyone quite positive about it as an experience, considering it's in Beeston and looks like a dodgy takeaway from the outside.
I have actually only heard good things about the food there.
Of the five people that have been there.
It's mainly been Ken and Ben.
It's being yelled at by Ken on his way out that generally detracts from the experience, isn't it? It's like competition winner who was yelled at for not spending enough.
It's your money. It's your money, Ken. And on a slightly sadder note, Jimmy Adamson died age 82. As they say, good innings. Former Leeds manager. Not an illustrious time as the Whites boss, but you would imagine that to be the case, having followed Revy and Armfield in the hot seat.
He did struggle because... the players that were in the side at that time were your Bremners and your Lorimers were all...
It was on the way,
out.
On the way down, weren't they?
You were picking up younger players and more journeyman players. Although we did have Tony Curry at that time.
But he sold him, didn't he?
He did sell him, yeah. And that was sort of the start of the downfall for Leeds, really.
He gave it a good... He was out a good long time before Ryan Clark ruined everything.
Yeah.
There was still a chance if somebody had taken over and done all right. Somebody did... it was on one of the forums, a little table... of where he stood, Reevey, champs in regular Europe, Wilco, champs in Europe, O'Leary, third in Europe, Arfield, fifth in Europe, Adamson, fifth in Europe, Graham, fifth in Europe. So he's joint fourth, mainly because we've not had that many managers historically and because the ones we've had lately, I mean, John Carver's not going to trouble this list. But reaction seems to be mixed. There's like a few people who, as soon as saw that Jimmy Adamson had died, some internet wags immediately went, out! But other people, the general... view of it, I think it's mellowed since that kind of the anger at the time that the team was failing to live up to the glory years.
Yeah,
it's become apparent as time's gone on how could they?
It is interesting that that article by James Horncastle, who's a Leeds fan who's quite prominent in sort of Guardian and internet and Twitter circles, wrote the article about the 1975 European Cup final, worth looking at on the Football Ramble blog. Sort of outlines the time under Armfield, where Armfield essentially just sent out that side as Don Revy's side, didn't he? Go out and play, lads. Do whatever you lads do. That was almost at Revy's instruction as well, wasn't it? Don't worry, Jimmy. Just send them out. They'll know what to do. And I guess it was even harder a couple of years further down the line for Adamson to try and make something of the remnants of that team.
Yeah, and the expectation at the time, if you're still within 5 years of being in the European Cup final, you're still, well, we want to be in the European Cup final. So fifth and getting into the UEFA Cup, it's not good enough. Whereas the subsequent 8 years in Division Two spelt out the story that he probably couldn't have done much more.
And he didn't take us into League One.
This is true. So, fare thee well, Jimmy Adamson.
The Square Ball Podcast, supported by thegeldedend.com.
Let's talk now then about pressure. Paul Rahubka crumbled, disintegrated in front of our very eyes in the Blackpool match. Why do you think that is? We're a club that's sort of synonymous with pressurising the players and having high expectation.
I don't know if high expectations were Rahubka's problem. I expected him to catch the ball as a bare minimum and he couldn't meet that. So it's more a case of low expectations not being met with Rahubka. But you do wonder whether it was the... Could it have been our fault? Were we asking too much?
No one had got on his back, to be fair, after his previous numerous errors. It took 3.5 hour period for people to get really pissed off with him. So I think we were quite kind to him.
Yeah, that's why, although I couldn't bring myself, as I said before, with the off chant, I was kind of quietly thinking, they're right.
There's no disputing that.
Do please get off.
Maybe we should have asked more politely. Yeah. Would you mind?
It needed...
Fake an injury, Paul. Make it look a bit better.
It needed Bobby Burrs, who used to come on at the end of the James Brown show with a towel. And when he's singing Please, 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 and he would always just stagger off under the support because he'd given too much. Like, come on. Or he just needed somebody with an umbrella, just get it around his neck and hook him straight out of there.
Do you think it's gone for him now at Leeds? Can he ever pull on the shirt again? Is it going to have to be? It's going to have to be a long time, at least, isn't it?
I don't think he ever will. I think we'll always look to loan someone before playing him. He might squeeze on the bench. We might just about risk that.
Could be Billy Painter all over again.
I think Billy Painter was made of sterner stuff. I think Billy would get on the pitch at Leeds and he'll keep playing and playing and playing and never scoring and just walk off and go, yep. Just in a bit of bad form. That bus, just waiting for that bus to come. Like, you know, because at least he has got something to live for. He's got a bus that is going to come. Whereas if you imagine Rahubka in the dressing room just pulling on that goalkeeper top, looking in the mirror and just seeing a vacancy. There are no buses.
I think the image we will be left with is him face down on the pitch.
Yeah, after the third.
Yeah. That's how I imagine even at home, if he's just watching a bit of telly, he'll just lie face down on his floor. I don't deserve to see the pictures.
I just wonder, for that moment as well, when he was laid face down, how hard was it, you think, for him to lift his head up and think, oh, there's 20,000 people going to shout at me now?
Well, it was weird. I watched, it seemed to be Danny Pugh in particular, put his hands on his head and walked all the way back to the centre circle with his hands on his head, as if, you know, when footballers get really bad leg breaks and the players run away and they're
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sick of someone to cover their eyes and just like can't bear to look. a lot of the Leeds players were like that, just walking away with their hands over their eyes. And
can it get any worse?
Just and there was some people in the West End reckoned that one, I think it was Snodgrass, actually went over to the touchline and was like pointing at him, like, get this clown off. But I don't know if that's apocryphal, but there was no confidence in the rest of the team. So he's got 10 players in front of him, well, 9 since he ripped the red card out of the referee's pocket and showed it to Tom Lees himself. 9 players in front of him who hate him. 8,000 people behind him on the cop who all hate him. And I was a bit disappointed that he didn't bring himself to turn around and just kind of go. But at half time, he didn't turn to go, see ya. It needed him.
I'm done. Yeah. I'm out of here.
It needed some
kind
of gesture.
I've been Paul Hopker. Thank you very much.
But Leeds is a club that it eats players, doesn't it? It can consume players, and players can sometimes just crumble and disintegrate in the face of whatever it is that happens at Leeds. Because we're not aware of the pressure in a way, because we are the pressure, the fans, aren't we? We're the ones who create this mythology, this history, this expectation born out of seeing one of the greatest club sides ever.
That was the Wilkinson theory, wasn't it, as well, that seeing Norman Hunter and Mick Bates looking at you from every corridor, he had to turn the pictures around or get them into storage, because I guess Mel Sterling didn't like being glared at by pictures. Unless they were in a certain kind of magazine. There's no evidence that Mel Sterling consumed large amounts of pornography. It's just something I've always imagined. Anyway, Howard...
touch of the Paul Jewels, maybe.
Howard saw it, and he recognised that having the pressure of... He always described it as ghosts stalking the corridors, didn't he? And that was the first thing that had to be done.
Holloway made remarks to this effect, didn't he, saying that Leeds is a club almost mired in its own history a little bit, obsessed with its past, and you've got to kind of now move forward and generate a new history, which is what Wilkinson's thinking was, wasn't it, with taking down the photos.
Did Holloway say all that?
Well, no, but that's what he was hinting at.
Well, okay. Who's he to tell us what to do?
Maybe he was sort of saying that Leeds is obsessed with its history. Massive club, and he praised our fans as well, but he perhaps hinted towards the fact that we are obsessed with our past, and
he's seen that as an outsider.
Yeah,
given we just spent 15 minutes singing We Are the Champions, Champions of Europe, while losing 5-0 at the Blackpool, he may have had a point.
We're only referencing things that are 35 years ago, 36 years ago. Nothing wrong with that.
We're still right.
But it is, isn't it? There's a certain crumb of truth in there, perhaps, that our frame of reference is Revy, and then obviously we've had Wilkinson since then, albeit short-lived. Because if you kind of took that out of it, ignored O'Leary's little dalliance with the Premier League.
O'Leary was the opposite. He thought we were too small for him. No club was big enough for him. He could probably have managed Real Madrid, Barcelona and Man U all at the same time.
Well, I bet he does that. He's got the new football manager. He's got 3 little accounts on the go. 3 games simultaneously. Oh, yeah, David, you're great.
But it was, wasn't it? We spoke earlier about Adamson and Armfield, and the hangover from the Revy era lasted all the way almost into the mid to late 80s when Wilko came in and tore down that history. Because we had managers, weren't we, from that era, and we were clinging on to Lorimer until he was 400 years old, you know.
Do you think that's what did for Hopker?
I don't know, but maybe the...
He's like, I've got to try and emulate Gary Sprake. How do I do it?
But when you've got, you know, all these famous players, like you say, stalking the corridors, doing the...
They're on hospitality level 3.
Yes, they are. That it maybe has a bearing on people, and they come out and they see the Revy stand and the towering East stand, and you say, this is a massive monument to what we used to be.
It should make them want to play well.
But when you're dealing in terms of...
Weak-minded
almost,
idiots.
Yeah, well, lower league journeymen, if you like.
I think maybe our expectations are wrong as well, because we have been a League One club and a Championship club for a long time now, and probably all League One and Championship clubs have had loads of crap players.
But doesn't it speak volumes that we are always looking upwards towards promotion? You know, as soon as we got out of League One, it's like, right, how can we get promoted out of the Championship? Never mind. You know, I know we accepted consolidation for a season, but look at the unrest this season that we finished 7th, and now people are demanding we go higher, including the chairman and the manager of the club, always looking upwards to the Premier League and demanding we should be there. Can that kill players?
It looks like it. A couple of Tuesdays ago, I watched a man die.
Well, speaking of weak-minded idiots, the obvious one from recent seasons, Kevin Nichols. I mean, crikey, I mean, a man so in love with Bedfordshire.
You can take the man out of Luton, but you can't take the Luton out of God, I still hate him.
He was rubbish as well, wasn't he? He wasn't even any good.
I mean, we paid £700,000 for him. Imagine doing that now. Imagine. You could buy seven Andy Lonergans with that.
Captain of the club. What more does he want? Oh, yeah. Luton. And that was a different kind of pressure as well, because he walked away from a relegation battle to go to Luton.
I'm prepared to give a little bit of mitigation to...
To who?
Nichols.
No.
Dennis Wise?
Already disallowed. What? Well, if he was going to Luton to get
Speaking
away
of
from
walking
Dennis
away.
Wise. Well, there's... Yeah, well, I've seen pub bar stools that are too big for Dennis Wise. You see, because he's quite short, you see. So I guess as a pair. So you add Dennis Wise one bottler to another.
That's true.
But I won't have a word said in favour of Kevin Nichols.
But you think back to Brian Dean as well, when he signed...
I have lots of words in favour of Brian Dean.
Yes, but fill in Chapman's shoes. And he never quite lived up to his promise, did he? Certainly never recreated the form that he showed at Sheffield United.
No, and he was a Leeds boy as well, so you wonder if there was the added pressure. There's no way that you could sort of say, oh, I didn't really know what I was getting into. Yeah, you did. You didn't come into the recent league champions, the more recent league relegation candidates. But yeah, just do what Chapman did, and he just could not...
From the right wing, where he played quite a bit of the time.
It was only moved out there when Yeboah turned up. And it worked a treat. Yeboah, Dean and Wallace either side. Didn't get any better than that. Suddenly, Brian Dean had a new lease of life. And there seems to be an element with that as well, that the pressure was off him. Well, Yeboah was going to score all the spectacular goals, and Brian Dean just had to run up and down the right wing and try not to be terrible. And he became... I mean, that goal against Tottenham, where he ran with the ball from the halfway line and started nutmegging, I don't know, Vinny Samways or somebody just in Edinburgh. Oh, yeah, they were a bit too early. But yeah, and then slammed it in from the left side of the six-yard box and then ran all the way back again with his arms in the air.
Well, you think of Dean, and it sort of makes me turn my attention back to, careful children, Frank Strandley, and he came in. And being a Leeds fan, that whole thing of carrying the burden of being a Leeds fan and pulling on the white shirt, he was dreadful, wasn't he?
He might have been better if he hadn't been eating to forget the pressure. Some people respond in different ways. Some people, Rahubka just crumbles. Strandley gets some apple crumble.
It's important, I think, to look at these players in the context of the career as well, because Frank Strandley didn't exactly leave and then go on to score 200 goals for AC Milan.
Played in the World Cup for Norway.
But he wasn't ever very good, was he?
No, not really.
And likewise, Rahubka has never been someone's first-choice goalkeeper for a number of years. I mean, Blackpool were playing Richard Kingston ahead of him last year.
Rahubka's, what, 30? That means he's got potential 10 years left at the highest level.
We've got him for another year, because we've got him a two-year contract.
And you say the highest level?
A-level. Hospitality, level 3. He said, bring those drinks in. Oh. Bugger, he's dropped anyway.
Going back to players who've quit, that's an interesting one as well. I mean, Aidan Butterworth, did he not retire to become a PE teacher?
Always fascinated me, the Aidan Butterworth story, because I was too young to have watched him play, but I read about him in Leeds Player by Player, and it was just, so this guy going to the Leeds team, he scored a load of goals, and he was only 19. It's like every boy's dream, represent his hometown club. And then he decided to be a PE teacher in Doncaster. And even as a child, that didn't add up to me. He just didn't like football very much. I mean, Batty didn't like football very much. It didn't stop him. Come on, Aidan, what happened?
Batty couldn't teach PE, though.
No, can you imagine? Yelling at you from inside his caravan. He kind of hated football that much. He played again a bit later for Doncaster and Guiseley, I think. And now he works for Adidas. Not that I've been... stepping his every move, so if he steps near a football pitch, oi, you said no, you said you didn't like this, you had your chance.
Another famous example of players who've not crumbled necessarily, but were on the receiving end of stick and fell foul of the pressure exerted by Leeds fans, I think back to Mark Hazlewood in the 80s and the famous V sign, flicking the V's at the cop. It's never a good way to progress your career at Elland Road, that is it really?
Not really.
I'd have seen Rahubka try it. 3-0 down. Come on, then. Who wants a piece of me? Just say. One at a time. All at once. I don't care.
He'd have got the wrong stand or something. He'd have got it wrong somehow.
The footage of the Hazlewood thing turned up on YouTube recently, and it's quite a good watch because he scores a goal.
Was it against Charlton?
It was Walsall.
Walsall.
He scores a goal at the cop end and then marches over, and while all the players are celebrating, he sticks the V's up, and then immediately he walks back to the touchline, and then immediately Howard Wilkinson's there with the numbers. The whoever replaced him can't have even had time to warm up. Just go on, get him off.
Am I right in thinking there was fences?
There were
fences.
The bloody chicken.
Not quite as stupid as it seems, though.
But I have to confess now, I was there, I was at the game, but I can't remember why we started booing him. Why were we booing him?
He was generally disliked. I think he just wasn't playing very well.
That generally does it.
Yeah, I think it's just a run of poor form, and he was the club captain, wasn't he? And he was expected to do better. The crowd voicing its displeasure, he gesturing his displeasure. Howard Wilkinson not having that. Hadn't been there very long, Howard, and straight away, you're never playing for this team again.
And did he never?
No, he never did.
Interesting. I was there. Can't remember. The 80s is just a blur now. I mean, Oddie. I mean, he's got no chance. Other players who have diminished in the face of pulling on the white shirt. Any other examples you can think of?
Well, Peter Barnes was one from the late... Well, it was Alan Clark who bought him, wasn't he? And paid, wasn't he, like £17 million for him?
£1 million.
Was he our first £1 million player?
This was in the early 80s. We should be spending £25 million on players now.
Well,
surely not.
That's inflation.
If we get if we just get a Peter Barnes-style waste of space, because that seemed to be the only worthwhile thing I think Peter Barnes left Leeds United is a photograph of him in the well that's underneath the Elland Road pitch. They got the turf up and they put a photograph of him halfway down the well to say, look, there's a well.
He managed to get out.
Yeah, he got out. Yeah. He got out. So that was, you hope
that's the tail end of going back to Jimmy Adamson when Alan Clark took over, and they did throw money at it, which, as Ken now knows, you can't throw money at it.
Guarantees you nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, that's it. I guess it comes to management in a way that you throw money at a player, but then say, not too much pressure on you, though. Just go and play your own game. Whereas Alan Clark always struck me more as the guy who would kind of sign a player. So, right, I spent £1 million on you, and now I'm going to bray you with a stick until you've performed. I don't think Peter Barnes was the star to respond to being brayed with a stick.
We should probably give a quick mention to John Oster as well, who chose to handle the pressure of pulling on a white shirt in a very different manner.
Trying to pull off Jamie McMaster, wasn't he?
He allegedly. Certainly, he was exposed to all sorts of things, yes.
Yeah, he was almost a bit famous. I was quite pleased when we signed John Oster, because I remember
he was quite a good player for a short period of time. He always looked about 11 years old as well. He was one of those ageless...
Like Chris Fairclough.
Yeah, he's not as young as Chris Fairclough. He could pass as a schoolboy still.
So what do you think it is? Why do you think some players just can't do it? Is it weakness? Is it... Why?
I'm more content to blame their weakness than our intimidating activities, because that way it's not my fault.
There's nothing wrong with demanding high standards, is there?
And it's partly our fault, just because a lot of people turn up every week.
Yeah.
Most players in League One have got to play in front of like 5,000 people.
And then we have the alternative list, in fact, and the League One thing. Andy Hughes is the perfect example of someone who turned up at a club that really was far too big for him and just swelled to meet the expectation of playing in front of 25,000-30,000 people every week. He rose to meet the challenge and probably rose higher than his skill level did, if you know what I mean.
Played above himself, didn't he?
Yeah, he was never going to be... It never made him a better player, but he couldn't have played any better. And him and Sean Derry is another one who said since they've left. Well, I mean, Andy Hughes was inconsolable, and Sean Derry, since he gave a great interview on the eve of promotion with QPR, where he said, what's the best place you've ever played? And, well, I'm about to be promoted back to the Premier League with QPR and get a championship medal. Leeds.
And he was also hounded out of Leeds by the management, and he still holds that opinion, which is a great credit to him, that he's not thought, what a horrible club.
Yes, he thought, what a horrible midget.
And it's worth saying that his Twitter name, his Twitter handle is Grey Peacock, isn't it? So there's a nod to us in there.
I hadn't looked at it from that point of view. Mm. I just seen Peacock was a reference to his tiny... No, nothing.
He's Leeds, and he knows he is. Other players to sort of enjoy the limelight at Leeds and come to the fore. Lee Bowyer's never recreated his form from Leeds United elsewhere, has he? Even when he's moved on to other clubs.
Or his criminal record.
Maybe other clubs wouldn't allow him to drink, and that's what fueled him. He was brilliant for us, though, in that few years. I wouldn't have swapped him for anyone in the whole country in central midfield. But he was very much a Leeds type of player as well. I think he was the sort of nasty edge to him, I think, actually did endear him to people.
I always remember before any of that had happened, there was a televised game against Liverpool. I think it was Elland Road, where I think it was Patrick Berger was through and shot. And Lee Bowyer, I think about the time that Berger shot, Lee Bowyer was in the centre circle and he managed to run back and block it on the line. And there was a part of me that thought, that's bloody brilliant. But there's another part of me that thought, why don't you just leave it? That was a lot of effort to go to. It's like, really, it doesn't matter that much. But, you know, I guess from his point of view, there's 40,000 people there and he is going to block that ball because it matters. Whereas I think I've just proved why I can't take the controlling hand in Leeds' midfield. I take it all back, Housen. Do what you want.
We are back on the telly again against Burnley this coming Saturday, the 19th.
Proper telly this time.
Yes, the licence fee is coming to us for this, isn't it?
The bloated, biased corporation.
We're playing Burnley. No doubt the BBC will be hoping that we recreate last season's humdinger, the 3-2. We spoke about that last year, Michael. A fun day out. Well, half of it was.
Second half, yeah. I kind of fancy us in this one.
We should beat them, shouldn't we? Because I think we're a decent side.
Don't want to hear no Tom Hark.
No. And as I said earlier, 11 men on the pitch, proper goalkeeper. We've done well this year. There's only, to my memory, Southampton that we've actually lost to when that's been the case, when we've had a proper keeper plus 11 men.
Well, we had Billy Painter and he shanked that shot, didn't he, as well against Southampton. So
be interesting to see who plays central defence, whether O'Dear and Lee's come back, whether Kisnobo and O'Brien, whether it's the old guard or the young whippersnappers, or one young whippersnapper, and that's Irish bloke.
Well, speaking of Mr. Painter, his friend Mr. Austin is now playing for Burnley, isn't he? He's bagged a few. Danger man.
We've got the list of top scorers, and it appears Rod Wallace has made a comeback as well. I can only presume, or maybe Ray.
In my ever-failing mission to try and get us some information here, last time I was just doing like the most appearances. This time I've copied and pasted goal scorers and assists. So we've got a bit more specific in our stats. Because before, too many numbers. Whereas here, goals, penalty goals. And I don't actually know what FG stands for.
No one's got any anyway. No one's got any FGs.
But yeah, Charlie Austin with 8.
Better watch him then.
He sounds like an old car, and I hope he doesn't drive straight through our... nothing. No,
Treacy, he's Kay Treacy. He's the bloke who exposed his anus to Twitter. Is that the same man?
Yes,
that's
it is.
The man,
isn't
yes.
It?
Yeah. I actually check this. If you go on Google Images and search for Keith Treacy Twitter, that will pop up that picture. So don't do it at work, but do look at it.
Unless you work in a sauna.
It's kind of intriguing.
Or you work as a proctologist.
Yes.
It's not,
a, you may have a
it's not the sort of place you would expect to see a footballer in.
No.
And I was just about to say that I don't know who the fuck any of those are, but now I know. So thanks for pointing that out.
The guy who got his arse out. That's I've heard of him. We've got to beat these, though, because Bristol beat them and Leicester beat them. They beat Blackpool, though.
And we're one better than Leicester.
Yes, it's true, but we're five worse than Blackpool, so that would be an 8-1. Nah, if they can lose to Bristol, we can beat these. And we've got to destroy Eddie Howe's life. Although I get the bad feeling that no matter how badly we beat Burnley, he's probably going to still be all peppy and positive and thinking, you know, well, we've got to look on the good side because the boys they've really put a lot of effort in it now. Yeah, I appreciate all that they do. Fuck off! I don't like Eddie Howe.
He's not northern enough.
No, what's he doing running Burnley? If he was manager of Cambridge United or City, I don't care which, then I could, it would be fine. But if you're interviewing, I mean, Jimmy Adamson, rest his soul, is a Burnley legend, and I imagine he must look down at Eddie Howe and think, how did this Ponzi boy get my job? It's every time he pops up on the Football League show, and he's just like, I have to be quick because the Bentley's only got another 5 minutes on the meter. I've got to go and pick up Jocasta and Tarquin from the local school. And I can only hope Jocasta and Tarquin are being pounded. Our Norman Clegg and bloody Billy Fisher, he's a character from literature. Knocking seven bells.
You've disappeared on a rant.
Knocking seven bells out of Eddie Howe's children in the playground.
Do you want to inflict violence on them personally?
His Eddie Howe's children.
Eddie Howe's children. No, if indeed he has any.
I'll leave it to other kids to do what is only just.
He's quite a good young manager, though, anyway, isn't he?
No.
Yeah, I'd have him at Leeds. No, Craig. Well, not if Bristol have beaten Burnley 3-1, and we'll see. We'll see on Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoon, Simon, leave with his wife. That's what I want to happen. Simon Grayson, you out of there. Eddie Howe's wife in your car. That's what's got to happen. Three points and the boss's wife.
From one set of strange mountain folk and interbreds from Burnley, we are playing Barnsley. Another set of backward interbred, not mountain folk, miners.
Troglodytes.
Troglodytes, very good. Yeah, excellent. Good word.
With the weirdest set of results in the league. All their results, I won't bother saying who won, but going back to the start of September, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, and then curveball, 5-3. So, yeah, that's Barnsley for you. 1-1, get them on the Paul's coupon. Lots. Except it's all gone weird. But then, yeah, and then 1-2, 2-1, and then the pattern, again, is back to 2-0. Anybody good at maths?
You sounded like a roadie then, doing a mic check.
1-1, 1-1.
2-2, 1-1. Yeah, so we need to beat them, don't we? We owe them a pasting from last year, and we didn't beat them last season at home when we should have done.
They thieved last year. It was awful.
A grand total of 13 goals across the two games. Nil-nil, anyone?
If Rahubka's back in.
Who knows what could happen.
And they got him. I always like to see Andy Gray in the opposition team, just because I remember, well, the one good thing about the Coca-Cola Cup final, and plus he is a Grey of the Greys. Of Eddie and Frank fame.
The Grey Dynasty.
The Grey Dynasty. And it's, when I've listened to, I remember the Barnsley away game, I listened to it on the Yorkshire radio last year, and Eddie kept just referring to his nephew all the time. Oh, it was a good ball in for my nephew there, and my nephew's done all right. Not scored, as usual, but yeah, he's turning into a grizzly old pro. He's Andy Grey, which is a
strange... Oh, I remember him when he was just a lad.
A young winger, he was.
With a shirt, with shorts were always big on him.
And like Huddersfield, anyone who's got a dog for a mascot, we need to beat them.
I mean, it's called Toby Tyke. I kind of imagine Eddie Howe's dog would be called Toby if one of his children isn't. So it's kind of a redoubled reason to get Barnsley off our cases. Yeah, 6 points.
We did say that last time.
We did say that last time.
Did we say six? I thought we said three.
We said six.
Oh, I didn't. I never thought we'd be.
No, I think we were blasé about getting six, but I think we more realistically predicted three. Probably got them the wrong way around. No. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing to do this time, then. Instead of predicting a win in one and a defeat in the other, where we could get them the wrong way around, all or nothing.
Okay, two wins, that's fine. No problem. On to what might be quite a short feature this time, the Ken Bates Villain of the Fortnight Award. Are we going to see a podcast first right now? Because first of all, I'll tell you what, before we get onto the really bloody obvious statement, should we read out the correspondence we received about this?
From Keelan Henry.
That's the one.
Well, Keelan emailed us to nominate Sepp Blatter because of the...
Poppygate.
Poppygate, the brouhaha around the wearing of the poppies in the England game, which I think is fair comment. He's caused a lot of trouble to a lot of people.
And besides that, Sepp Blatter, this could probably be... the Sepp Blatter Villain of the Fortnight as well, because he is likewise someone who I think week in, week out is consistently ruining football. So,
but that's football, not Leeds United.
True. He's not getting a look in, is he, to be honest?
Sorry about that. It's not possible given the Blackpool aberration and the contents of the rest of this podcast. It's only fair to say.
Bates has got to have his nomination.
What, for allowing Rahubka to put pen to paper, or...
Ken
Bates gets an automatic.
We
nomination.
Need to find a reason, though.
Hospitality level 3 is opened 2 weeks late.
Okay, that'll do. So that's Ken Bates' nomination. Who else?
You say it as if it's nothing.
Who else have we got?
Can't bear to speak his name anymore.
Anybody else want to nominate Paul Rahubka?
Let's just give him the
award. Can we preemptively nominate Eddie Howe in advance of him winning next week?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get that on there as well. So we've got four people.
So that's a nomination for Ken Bates for something completely spurious, and multiple nominations for Paul Rahubka. Who are we going to give it to, chaps? For contributing to the enduring misery of being a Leeds United fan, we give the award. The Ken Bates Villain of the Fortnight Award goes to...
It's Mr. Rahubka.
Well done, Mr. Rahubka, the first person ever to retain... the title.
I don't think he's going to get a third shot at it, though.
Oh, it's a shame. It's like the American presidential thing. You're only allowed two terms.
What was his crime last time?
Being shit. He's won it for the same reason.
Being shitter.
Yes.
Well done, Paul Rahubka. The award is not in the post because we wouldn't bother wasting the bloody postage.
We say we put too much pressure on people. All we did was giving him an award for being especially shit.
We'd give him an award, but he'd probably drop it.
Indeed he would.
Hey, Dan. Dan.
Moving on to our any other business section, let's wrap up some items that we need to from last time. We received an email, didn't we?
We did, because last time we were talking about how Leeds United's legendary players, who you can meet on hospitality level 3, sort of given short shrift in the memorials around the city in the light of the Don Revy statue that is going to stand opposite the East Stand. And we were a bit disparaging about John Charles Way, which is a road off Gelded Road. And I always thought it's a little bit of a short road that doesn't quite do justice to the stature of the man. And anyway,
possibly with a Screwfix Direct in the vicinity.
We got an email from John Clark, who is a head honcho at Bracken Developments, who are property developers in Leeds. And he said it was nothing to do with Leeds United or Leeds City Council. It was, in fact, his company's handiwork. And he thought we might be interested to hear how it came about. And I think we are all interested.
Tell us what John said.
He said, they're all, everybody at Bracken is lifelong fans of Leeds United, and his granddad was a turnstile operator until he was over 80. So they got a rich Leeds United heritage. And at the end of the 90s, they refurbished an office building on Gelded Road and put in a new road and 5 new office buildings behind it. And as usually happens, this is John's email now, with these things, the road was adopted by the council and we had to come up with a name. Our comments in the podcast, about the lack of tributes rang true with our feelings at the time, and we decided to do our own bit to acknowledge some of the greats of our past. We therefore decided to name the road John Charles Way and the buildings Elland House, Bremner House, Madeley House, Giles House and Hunter House. Unfortunately, some of the people who bought the buildings dropped the names, but Bremner House is still known by its true name, and of course the name of the road cannot be changed.
So it's actually born out of a positive reason, not the one that we took the piss out of last week.
It is, yeah, and he sent us a copy of the letter that John Charles sent giving his approval. So he signed it off and was very happy personally to have the street named after him. And John finishes saying, it's only a small thing, but we are proud that we've been able to stamp a part of Leeds with the names of some of our greatest players, which is...
Bravo.
Absolutely. Considering, I mean, if it had been Leeds United or the council, you would have said, well, you want a better road than that. But knowing that it's actually Leeds fans, I guess they haven't got that many roads to name, that they chose to name that one after John is... I might go and have a look. It's off Gelded Road. It's just past the Lowfields Road junction. You can go and have your photo taken. It should be. John.
So, tell us this is great, the kicker, the little kicker at the end.
John's postscript said, we also used to own a building on Trafford Park, not far from Scum's Ground. We wanted to paint a massive LUFC badge on the roof so that whenever there was an aerial picture of Old Trafford, it would be accompanied by a Mighty White badge, which would have been... Go and buy that building back. He said it didn't quite happen, though, much to the relief of our insurer. Please
can
buy
we not
that building
cobble
back.
Together and buy that building? Outstanding.
I mean, we're in the age of Google Maps now and all, and everybody. Can you imagine? Oh, it'd be so good. So anyway, thank you, John, and sorry for being mean about your roads, but I do genuinely appreciate what it is, and it's good to know the story.
Let's talk quickly then about the Christmas party. We mentioned it at the top of the podcast. Somebody tell me about the tickets and this fabulous event.
Well, we've decided during the duration of this podcast, you can tell how well planned this is. Tickets are going to be £2, but then we're also going to have an option to donate a bit more when you're buying them on the website. So please give generously, because absolutely all the ticket money is going to the charity. That's not going to be touched by us whatsoever.
Fees? What are our admin fees?
We're even covering the PayPal fees. Would you believe it? So yeah, come down, a couple of quid in, potentially more if you want, but it's going to be a cheap night all in all. We're going to have some decent beers on. Leeds Brewery are doing some bitters, cheap lager and wine as well.
So. Premium.
Yeah. Premium.
No cheap shit.
It's cheap prices for premium beers. We're looking at that, £2.50 a pint or something?
£2.50 a pint.
£2.50 for everything, aren't we?
And yeah. It'll all be decent. There'll be none of your Ellen Road-style filth.
No Boddingtons.
No Boddingtons.
That's guaranteed.
No Manchester products will be served.
And the theme for this little shindig is going to be football as it should be. You can stand up, you can drink beer, you can listen to decent tunes.
You can shout at poor Rahubka. Oh, and we may have a special guest appearance as well from a certain...
Head of an organisation,
yeah. We're hoping may turn up.
Watch
give
this
you more
space.
Details about that nearer the time.
Hang on a second. If I wanted to attend this fabulous sounding Christmas party, how on earth could I get there?
Well, get a ticket to begin with, which you can be purchased from the fantastic squareball.net.
Yeah, go to the shop. Click on the shop.
Yeah, and it'll be there. You can buy multiple tickets on it. So buy them for all your friends, even those you don't like. No Scum fans, though. Thank you very much. We've got quite a strict policy on that. But yeah, and also we've rented just a room so we can do what we want with it, basically. And to cover that, we need you to drink a lot. So please get down there early, and the more you drink, the less likely we are to lose money.
Give me a date, a time, and a location.
It's the Temple Works in Holbeck in Leeds, which is about a 5-minute walk from the city centre.
Near Lorimer's Pub, for those that know it.
Yeah. It's Saturday the 17th of December.
Straight after the Reading game.
Straight after the Reading game.
Get it open after the match, and then into the wee small hours.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
A mixture of Leeds songs, Christmas songs, and assorted hits from the 90s.
And a small caveat that it's over 14s also as well.
So if you're 13, sod off. You're not welcome.
I'll bring your fake ID.
Yeah. Finally, right, magazine. Let's talk about that very quickly before we head off. Issue 4, last few remaining copies on sale for the Barnsley game. That will sell out. Got maybe 100, 200 left. New ones coming out for Millwall. Keep watching the website for details on that. And of course, if you fancy writing something or doing something creative, be it graphical or Photoshop or handwritten or hand-drawn, anything.
Or even if you're just a furious Bradford fan.
Yes, do send it to us. We have received correspondence from a furious Bradford fan who objected to our We All Hate Leeds Scum feature in the first issue of the Square Ball this season.
He'd been handed a photocopy of it by someone, and boy, was he unhappy. We've agreed to give him some space to write a reply anyway. So we'll
which essentially details why they hate us, which should make for a very entertaining read, so we'll look out for that.
We'll have to type it up from the crayon. It'll be sent in, but...
Shit-daubed letter.
Being a Bradford City fan didn't make him unhappy enough. He was pissed off with us.
Excellent. We do love them, don't we? Our little parochial cousins from down the road. Right, that's about it, I think, for this Square Ball podcast. Bye from me. Bye from Michael.
Goodbye.
Bye from Moscow.
Goodbye.
And bye from Oddie.
Goodbye.
As always, we'll return in a fortnight. In the meantime, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can do it via email, podcast@squareball.net. Grab us on Facebook. You can also reach us on Twitter. And for all the information about everything we do, have a look on squareball.net. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
The Square Ball Podcast, supported by thegeldedend.com.
Other players to sort of enjoy the limelight at Leeds and come to the fore. Lee Bowyer's never recreated his form at Leeds elsewhere.
Sorry, we've not even had any of this tonight, normally.
Lee Bowyer's never recreated his form.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.